Thank you for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by what you hear and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please listen for instructions at the end of this message. Beloved, the Lord speaks to you this evening through His living, holy, powerful, life-changing, life-guiding word in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Let me read it for you now. Hear the word of the Lord. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Let me read that again. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. This morning we learned in Proverbs 11:14 to seek safety in many counselors. Tonight, we're going to learn how to counsel others, those who need help and may come to us. I want you to think about a deflated balloon. It's not been blown up or the air has been taken out of it. It simply lies lifeless. It doesn't make children smile. Think instead of a balloon that is robust with air. It's shiny, and it playfully races in gusts of wind, and kids have fun with them, chasing them around and maybe popping them sometimes. Kids have fun with them even raising their hair or sticking them to walls with static electricity. Even more, think of a balloon inflated with helium. You can tie it to a string and walk it around. It'll follow you in the air lightly, or let it go. And it rises up into the heavens. And this is the difference that you can make in people's lives with how you speak to them when they're deflated, when they're laid low, as we see in our text, by heaviness in the heart. Heavy things that weigh upon our hearts, weigh upon our shoulders. It actually makes us stoop, makes our shoulders go down, makes us have a posture of being worn out and weary. And you have the opportunity of blowing air back into that soul and lifting it up. Troubled hearts that are laid low can be lifted up by speaking good words into them. I give you that as the idea of the text, which is essentially the same of the short verse. Troubled hearts that are laid low can be lifted up by speaking good words into them. I want you to see the power you have. We've often looked at that, the power of words. They can do harm. Proverbs warn about much of that. But tonight it only focuses on the good that they can do. They can do much good if we think to use our words this way. The word heaviness in Hebrew could be afflicted. And notice in contrast with good. And actually, I think my computer changed the word. It should be can be related to having anxiety. The heaviness can be related to anxiety, or the idea of anxiety could be translated it. Now, notice the contrast. There's a few contrasts going out here, going on, and the contrast is important to look at. You can go from this place to this place by doing something. Notice anxiety. Certainly affliction or heaviness of soul is in contrast with good, with something good. Notice the contrast of the heart and word. You see, the outward, trusting it's coming from your heart, can influence the inward. Think about that. Words get into the ears, into the heart, can do something to that heavy heart. Also see the contrast of the before and after effect of speaking a good word into a heavy heart and what it can do. Now, a heavy heart maketh a person stoop. Makes it like this. But giving a good word into that heavy heart maketh it glad. Could be translated, makes it rejoice. Now think about the contrast there, you know, the heaviness And then the rejoicing. This, of course, just the kind of straightening back up and the breathing in of air and rejoicing and laughing. That's what you can do with your good words. You see, hope brings happiness. And this comes from you who are willing to help a heavy heart. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. A certain kind of word, pleasant words, good words. Proverbs 12, 18. Close to our verse this evening. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You have to be careful. There's a certain way that you can speak that can cut people off and leave them bleeding. But you can also choose to be one of healing. The tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise can speak good and pleasant words into a heavy heart and make a difference, a healing difference. I do want to remind you, as I often do on this subject, because I know it bears repeating for all of us, I know it does for me, of what I learned in poetry class in college. Sarcasm is something to avoid. It means in the Greek to cut the flesh, and that is certainly not going to heal the heart. Your words are to bring healing, health, not make people bleed and seek bandages after you pass by. Keep in mind that wise counsel wisely knows the time and place. There's different words that are good to speak in different times and different places. And so we need wisdom. We need to know the word and know which word is the best to speak. Keep in mind Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A word fitly spoken. So a word spoken out of order or unfit or inappropriate at a certain time, of course, is the opposite. So we want to be careful about speaking words that are fit for the occasion, fit for the situation, because we're concerned not about ourselves. We're concerned about helping the other person. Sometimes the good word to speak is Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things to the good of them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And tenderly, carefully helping a person accept and work with difficult providences. Sometimes 1 Corinthians 15, as is the word that was preached this morning in Gibsonia, Pennsylvania, to comfort our brethren, the Stuyvesant family, and the loss of their wife a few days ago. Speaking the promise of the resurrection. Not overlooking the sorrow of loss of a loved one to the grave, but being encouraged about the truth and the hope of Christianity being raised from the grave. Oftentimes, speaking a good word will be through all kinds of difficult providences, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. One of the wonderful things of that scripture is that it recognizes difficulty and pain and struggle. It allows you to own it, similar to Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, we've often considered with it. And yet it helps you know how you would have that weeping or sorrow that is not like the world but has hope in strengthening and encouraging through it. And naturally, there are many scriptures that we often write to one another, Isaiah 40, they that wait on the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Other scriptures in Isaiah nearby, such as he will be with you through the water and through the fire. Our memory verse this evening, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Many of these kinds of scriptures are good words. And so, frankly, beloved, one of the things you really want to be ready is to have God's good word on a number of different topics in you, near you. I was encouraged to hear from our brother, Matthew, while he was away on the ship. He was able to share much of what the Lord's been giving him here with others. And sometimes, he said, some people cried. And sometimes they had nothing to say. They were kind of in awe. And in particular, one of them was 1 Corinthians 13, which we're studying in our men's study, and what it said and how people were amazed by it. And having these words ready to be able to speak, and there's nothing more pleasant or good than God's word, the right ones fitly at the right times, but have God's word ready to share. Sometimes speaking a good word to bring healing and lift up a heavy heart can be hard to hear. It certainly needs to have in view how you bring it across, but Proverbs 27, verse 6, for instance, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You don't want to burst anyone's balloon, but sometimes we do need to prick the skin so the infection can start to come out and real healing can begin. We want to be calling heavy laden people, weary people, to Jesus, whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. Call them to Jesus, straight to Jesus, who gives a peace of God that's not of this world, passes all understanding. Speak his words. Speak words that help guide their eyes to the light of hope, such as Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Beloved, take them outside, almost anywhere you are in Southern California. We have the advantage of, come here with me, please, and look up to the hills together. Have that word on your heart. If you don't, open it up and just read it and then pray it and trust that God's living word can minister. But be willing to do these things. Help lift up a heavy heart, sometimes with levity. Proverbs 15, verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Or Proverbs 17, 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. One of those concerns why we would want to be lifting up a heavy heart that stoops us down. And of course, that idea of stooping, the Hebrew has the idea of, could just be that we bow down, we're bent over in grief or sorrow. And I know that there were times in some of our family's greatest grief over the last decade where sometimes we chose to take a break from the grief, and we deliberately found something comedic to make us laugh, you know, in between the tears, in between the sorrows, and it was helpful. It's just sometimes you got to take a break to have a laugh. Just because it's all right and you need it, it doesn't mean you forget where you are, what you're going through, but it's okay to just let yourself have a moment of merriment. But of course, again, it has to be fit at the right time. It isn't always right. It's not always the right time to be silly. Still, even a good cry can bring release and smiles. How many times have we ended a time of crying with some saying, oh, I feel better, and there's almost a little laughter with it. I feel better. I needed a good cry. Sometimes you have to be able to let it out to be lifted up. And we need the help of our brethren to remind us, speaking supportive words to do that in a culture that is too often trying to pretend that we all got it together and we don't have any problems, which means we're lying to ourselves and one another almost 24/7. Our strength is only from the Lord. Our being lifted up is only from the Lord. And the Lord uses the means of his people to speak such life, such lifting up of hearts with his word through the mouths of his people. And helping one grieve can be good. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter sometimes. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Pray for wisdom and seek many counselors to help advise you in offering more help and discern what is best for what person at what time and what situation, and we're all made differently. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 4, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Sometimes telling someone what time it is and helping them embrace it for what it is a good word to speak into their heavy heart. We often need help. There's guidance along. Recognize where we are and what we can do about it and where we need to go. Even think of in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Why does he say that in context? They're weeping because the rediscovery of the law, and they're recognizing how much they have not done God's law, and they're heartbroken over it. But Nehemiah is saying, we're being restored unto the Lord now. No more weeping. There's a time for that, but it isn't to go forever. Let us now rejoice with the strength of the Lord, the joy of the Lord as our strength. So sometimes just helping people navigate and transition from one place to the next. Often, beloved, you can simply say this. I'll do these really slow so that you can memorize them and have them ready at any moment. Are you ready? I love you. And men, you can say that to men. Don't get me going with holy kisses with David and Jonathan for another sermon. Some of you are saying, how long can that be delayed? But we need to say, I love you. And you know, right now, as I've been comforting a brother, I am profuse with closing with my salutation, love, Grant. And that's what we need to do. Just hearing someone say, I love you, can go a long way. Say, all right, this is a little longer. And ironically, I've spelled it wrong, but that's appropriate in this case. I'm here for you. And say that not just in an email, or please don't just say that in a text. You know, say it beside them. Seek them out. But it's funny, I wrote it H-E-A-R, I'm here for you. But of course, isn't that so much of it? I'm here for you to listen. I recall, I think it was you, Mr. Vermilion, that shared those lovely stories. And one of them was a young boy went to his neighbor's house, an older man who had lost his wife. And he was just sitting there on the porch. And I think they asked him, what did you say? I didn't say anything. I just cried with him. Something along those lines. And how healing that is. Listening is the greatest language of love. The power of presence speaks volumes in a busy world where we're largely passing ships. You care enough to sit with me? Really? You can say a lot to people like that. You can say these three words. Okay, write this down on your heart. God forgives you. I forgive you. If they are not a Christian, God can forgive you. You can be forgiven. How many things have our hearts weighed down because of our sins? Jesus saves sinners. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, here's a 5-word. I'm just having a little fun with you to really put these in your tool belt. So simple, and we can tend to make it more complicated and then miss many moments where we could provide healing. Be ready to say this. May I pray for you? How many times do we listen to someone and discuss their situation and say, I'll pray for you, if we say that? May I pray for you? And when they say yes, you pray for them. Mindful that Jesus talks about don't be praying in the streets for everyone to see you. Find a quiet corner to pray, but pray for them. Speak good words into their hearts, praying for them. And if they are uncertain, if they avoid it, then sneak a quick prayer in and over them, yet still. What are they going to do? Get a word in there. Regardless of the time and the place and what's fitting, Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Of course, that involves saying something. More on that in a moment. Seasoned with salt. We've looked at what salt can represent. We are the salt of the earth. Just have in view these things. Salt is preventative, right? It's a preservative. I think that's probably most in view with what Jesus says, but there's more than that. Salt can bring flavor, but it can bring healing. I think it was last Lord's Day in the morning. I was going too quickly. I should have switched my razor blades, and I have one of those things where you take the one out and stick the other in and tighten it up. You know, and it's ridiculous because I bought one of those bulk things of blades. I probably have enough blades to last myself and several more generations to come. You know, I'm not going to run out of these things, but I wait too long and going too fast, and because it was dull, I cut myself. And Fernanda has this special salt that you can use to put in a little wound like that, and it stops the bleeding. And that's what our words are supposed to be like. It's supposed to be seasoned with salt. Stop the bleeding of these bleeding hearts, hurting hearts, heavy hearts. Healing. Now, something else to challenge you with. Oh, yes, you can. It's not brother or sister's job, it's your job. Your brothers and sisters, yes, and you're going to need you too. And it's not just the pastor's job, as much as he loves to do it. He's only one person. And we let others in sometimes more than the pastor. It's everyone's job and everyone's ability. And I would remind you, you are all competent to counsel. And this is the name of the main book by Jay Adams in the Nuthetic Counseling Movement. And it simply is relying on Romans 15, verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness. Well, you can speak a good word then. Filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And the Greek word for admonish, noutheo, is where they get the phrase nouthetic counseling. It just means, you know, counseling, advise. Can be rebuked, but it's that broader idea of advising and counseling one another. You're all competent to counsel because you all have the word of God. Some of us are trained and called to assist you with that, and so we have to make sure we give extra study to show ourselves approved to do that, but it doesn't rule out all of your ministry to one another and the world. Having God's word, speaking what you know, speaking what you can. Because you're going to be out there in the world in all these different places that I won't, that your elders won't, to be salt. And to one another. One of the reasons people pay for counseling, and I know this from testimony to me from people, is because they need someone to listen. They need someone to express interest and compassion. As I think most of you know, I was exploring for a tent-making job. It wouldn't have been able to be that much of the picture of the pie, but I was looking at Navy chaplaincy in the reserves this week. And the one that does the recruiting, a man who's also, he's a pastor and he's a Navy chaplain, he said to me, it's desperately needed. He talked about the military and the difficulties there and so many crazy things going on. And he says, you can't talk to anyone, you can't cry, you can't show emotion. And the only person you can talk to is the chaplain. And we desperately need more chaplains. And one of the things he spoke to is the fact that there is a higher suicide rate with our armed forces because of that context. We need to be speaking one to another. We need to be offering someone, some place I can talk to. I can listen. They don't need to go pay for it. They can just come have a friend. Now, some people are really paying for friends. The scriptures speak about there's not that many out there. There's only a few that stick closer than a brother. By the way, that's coming from Proverbs. Be a friend. Not that many people are actually willing to listen. And then really listen. Sometimes it's obvious because they literally get up and leave before the conversation has ended, sometimes in mid-sentence, and you start to learn, I'm not going to bear my soul to that person because they're not even listening. And that hurts. We need to give time to one another. We need to have time to reflect on what's being shared with us so we have an idea of what to say back or other questions to ask. And sometimes we need help just counseling ourselves and being able to talk to someone else helps us think through our thoughts. We ought to be offering free friendship, free gospel grace, counseling to one another in the world. And I was thinking after that conversation, we have military housing all around us here. And maybe we need to develop a track that says, we're here for you. Do you need someone to talk to? We have an ear for listening. Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Let them enjoy your laughter with them in their happy moments. I'm so happy for you. I praise the Lord. I rejoice for you. And let them listen to your tears in their weeping. Don't make light of things, but help lighten their burden. It's amazing how you can carry something when you just have one other person. I was teaching the little guys the other week. I brought home a big box of diapers, and one wanted to carry. I said, I think you probably both should take an end, you know. And at first, no, I'm strong. Oh, yeah, that's good. You take the other side, you know. And same thing with lots of things in life, you know. You get a few more people lifting that thing with you, and it's much more able to bear. We need to help one another, lift one another up by carrying one another's burdens. In particular, we're focusing on that because tonight the idea is the heaviness in the heart that makes a man stoop, and how we can help lift their burden by a good word to make the heart glad and lift them up. Encourage, affirm. And by the way, be proactive about that as well. You know, be kind of getting air in people all the time. I remember when we had our study a while ago on affirmation, Sam Crabtree's book. Some of the elders, we went to his conference on that and have the book, and we studied it. And he said, you know, you really need to make sure for every one correction or, censor, some kind of criticism, and there's a place for those things, you should have 3 to 5 affirmations. So think about that. Are you going out of your way proactively to affirm one another? Sometimes to counteract things that shouldn't have even been said, but even to just put in a helpful context a wound that needs to be made by a friend at times. Affirm. Come alongside. Speak life. Beloved, do not be like Job's friends in their trouble, in his troubles. Remember, we've looked at that recently. Such sorrow, such anguish, literally stooped down not only from his heart, but his literal body. Such loss. And they spent most of the book, not a short book, criticizing him and expressing, you probably brought this on yourself, which was just to bring insult to injury. And it didn't heal. And he lamented that, and God corrected them for it. Be like Christ to his friends. John 16:33. These things have I spoken. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And just have a cheery joy to come together and worship, as we always sing outside the church before we enter into morning worship. I joyed when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. As you sang this evening, in particular, verse 8, for my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. How nice to hear that. When we sang that together this evening, and as we looked at each other singing it, I was touched just to say to one another, I pray for your peace, my brethren, my friends. I pray for your prosperity. I pray for your felicity. What a lovely thing to say. But beloved, say something like that. And here's another thing, not something to say, but something I want to say to you. Say something. Some of us know what it is to be in deep moments of grief and startled that when you share your situation, even some Christians literally don't respond with their mouth and walk away. And sometimes there's not a more lonely experience in all the world. Say something. Because saying something shows you see them. And you care for them. You don't have to say a lot. Just think of the golden rule. R.F. Horton has some things to say about this in his notes on this verse. The pleasant words spoken out of a kindly and gentle nature have a purifying effect. They cleanse away the defilements out of which the evil passions sprang. They purge the deceased humors which produce the irritations of life. They supply a sweet food to the poor hearts of men who are often contentious because they are hungry for sympathy and love. He goes on to say, what a different world this would become if we all spoke as many pleasant words as we honestly could. And we're not so painfully afraid of showing what tenderness and pity and healing exist in our hearts. There are these stooping, bowed down hearts everywhere around us. We wish that we could remove the cause of sorrow, that we could effectually change the conditions which seem unfavorable to joy. But by being unable to do this, we often stand aloof and remain silent. Because we shrink from giving words without deeds, pity without relief. We forget that when the heart is heavy, it is just a good word that maketh it glad. Yes, a word of genuine sympathy, a word from the heart. And in trouble, no other word can be called good. Will often do more to revive the drooping spirit than the grosser gifts of material wealth. A gift card is nice. A word is best. They are not mutually exclusive. Lastly, he says this: the seasonable word spoken just at the right moment and just in the right tone, brief and simple, but comprehending and penetrating, will often make the sad heart sing a song for itself. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Let me read that last line again from R.F. Horton. The seasonable word spoken just at the right moment and just in the right tone, brief and simple, but comprehending and penetrating, will often make the sad heart sing a song for itself. Beloved, let it be that when you leave the room of mourning or anxiety, it is said by the one that you spoke to, based on what you said to them, trusting you said something, let it be said of you after you've left, he was like a breath of fresh air. She was like a breath of fresh air. I feel filled up. Beloved, lift up heavy hearts by filling them up with good words. And that is the message for you this evening from the text. Lift up heavy hearts by filling them up with good words. And I promise you, if you will, you will change the world. And you will have people following you to this church. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, forgive us for how often we default to foolish words, careless words, casual discussions. And we aren't willing to go deep to the heart. And we're often intimidated and move away from someone when we see a heavy heart. When we of all people should be the one they can talk to, confide in, receive a compassionate ear and a kind tongue of healing. Lord, let us have your words and your spirit and indeed be salt to the earth and salt to the wounds of hearts, even when we may, as a good friend, sometimes need to be bringing those wounds for real healing. Let us have all the other words to help receive the care and to work through the healing afterwards. Lord, let us look for opportunities and look for words to say and keep some of these with us all the time, remembering how much it helps for us. Remember how much someone has healed us with their words. And let us be eager to do the same for others, thinking of the golden rule. And thank you, Lord God, for speaking your healing good words to us in your holy word. And thank you for speaking to our heart, Holy Spirit, that we can hear you and receive your healing and help. And as we would humble ourselves under your heavy hand, that you would lift us up in due time. And thank you for the promise that we can cling to in our hearts of the hope of the resurrection that will not disappoint and is the anchor of our souls. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all your people said, Amen. Beloved, prepare to receive God's loving words of his benediction upon you. But before he gives you those words, may I say these words to you. I love you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by our sermons and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please click on the Give button at the top of any of our sermon audio pages to support us with your online donation. Or visit our website at puritanchurch.com and click through the Give button at the top right of your screen. And if you prefer to send your support through the mail, please make your check out to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church and send it to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church, 6374 Potomac Street, San Diego, California, 92139. Thank you.